Well, earlier this week, as most of you probably have been getting ready for Christmas, this year a choice was made for us beyond our control that this year our family would be celebrating a more authentic Christmas. I don't mean vintage. I mean like Bethlehem stable real in our house. You see, we already kind of are halfway there. We have three dogs, and it feels like we're living in a barn most of the time. But we took it a step further this year, not a choice of our own. Our furnace went out on Thursday and woke up to 53 degrees. And so we were just kind of adding that realistic feel with the three dogs. And then yesterday, they wanted to get into the act and wanted to recreate the nativity story too. And so here we are living like Christmas at our house. Actually, they had baths. That was their Christmas baths. And it could be worse, right? I try to look on the bright side of things. There's nothing wrong with it being a little chilly. And the positive side is we don't live in North Dakota or Minnesota. So, you know, we can handle a little bit of chilly weather. And sometimes things like this, and I don't think we'll probably have furnace again until maybe Wednesday or Thursday of this next week, and it is what it is, and, you know, sometimes those kinds of things will stress a person out and kind of say, well, that's it, and it's kind of ruined my Christmas, but we try not to do that. But yet there's a whole marketing campaign out there to have you buy products that'll help relieve your stress. And I remember this happened about 15 years ago. This became a thing because my mom would buy us things that would supposedly reduce our stress. I remember a number of years ago, my mom bought us one of these little Zen garden things. Who wants to admit that they have one? There's one person. Okay, we got a couple over there. That's good. So my mom got this, and she said, well, you know, this should help, and we set it out, and it only increased our stress because our kids would play with it, and there was sand everywhere. Like, there was no serenity in this thing. So we got rid of that, and my mom tried again. We weren't asking for these things. They just kind of showed up. And so she got us one of these little tabletop fountains. Supposedly the feng shui is with water running in your house like this, the babbling brook noises will bring peace and serenity to your life. And I don't know. I mean, we ran it for 6 months. I got tired of refilling it every week, and so eventually I unplugged it, and then it sat on our tabletop or our countertop for 6 months mocking us that we don't have peace and serenity, right? So we finally got rid of that, and I realized that if my mom would have just bought us a chocolate fountain, all of our problems would be resolved, but that didn't happen. And I think to myself, if the noise of running water could bring peace and serenity. When we look at the world around us today, I feel like if that was going to be the case, we'd pretty much have to move to Niagara Falls to drown out the stress that many of us feel in this time of year and in the world we live in right now. But we come tonight to hear a story that probably 99% of you have already heard. And you start to wonder, am I here at church because it's just what you do? Am I here at church tonight because of sentimental reasons and hearing songs and listening to the children sing? Or quite possibly, could this ancient story speak to our lives this very evening? Well, I'll tell you, the angels seem to think so. You've heard it already. Dave read it to us. The angels scare these shepherds half to death. And then they say that they bring a message of good news, of great joy for not just a few people, but for everyone. Wow. That a Savior has been born. Someone who will rescue humanity from something has arrived. And that this chosen one of God, in fact, is God in the flesh. So the angel lays all this message out, and at the end of this announcement, he gives directions, or she gives directions, to find this rescuer of humanity, and then this multitude of angels show up and say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people on whom God's favor rests. Have you ever thought about what that means? Just that phrase right there. It's pretty amazing. First of all, they say glory to God in the highest, which is really just a different way of saying God gets all the credit for what just happened. For a baby that is born and is God himself, God gets the credit. God gets the glory. It was God's idea, and all we're doing is saying this was God's doing, so God gets all the glory. Wow. And then they add, and on earth, peace to people on whom God's favor rests. That's just fancy angel talk, for God's going to give peace to his favorite people. Think about that. Did you hear that correctly? Yes, you did. Is that God wants to give peace to God's favorite people, and I have to tell you, because you're here tonight, you're a part of that group of God's favorite people. Somebody here tonight need a little bit more peace in their life? Okay, I got one. Okay, the rest of you, I don't know, but God wants to give us peace because we're a part of his family. And remember what we heard from a prophet named Isaiah. Dave read it just a little bit ago. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, these titles were given, and one of them was the Prince of Peace. Not the despot of despair, not the captain of chaos, not even the superintendent of sadness, but the Prince of Peace, who has now arrived to give each one of us peace because we're a part of God's favorite people. Now, I know some of you might be skeptical. You look around and you say, well, the world is far from peaceful. It seems that there's more polarization and there's more division than there was even just a year ago. But wasn't there a promise about peace? And it seems like we're far from that. But the words of promise from the angel that we just heard from was not world peace. It was peace on whom God's favor rests. Not everyone. It's not that God doesn't want to give peace to everybody. It's just that some people don't want it. Some people find it to be more important to be right all the time. Some people want to be always winning. Some people want to conquer. Some people have no interest in peace unless it's they get their own way and then they're peaceful. See, through the birth of this child, God offers peace to all those who are willing to come up and take a peek into the manger. Even in the toughest of times, back in 249 AD, the guy on the left was named Cyprian. He was a bishop in a town called Carthage in Africa. And as he was being a bishop in Carthage in Africa, the man on the right, his name was Decius, he became the Roman emperor. And it was right around the 1,000th year of the Roman Empire, and it was visibly starting to decline. Things weren't like they used to be in the Roman Empire. And his whole platform as the Caesar, as the emperor, was to rejuvenate Rome, make it great again. And he said, we have to get back to doing things the way we used to do them. Return to the old ways, he said. And it was with that, 100 years of peace with Christians ended, and the persecutions began again. Now, during that time, the bishop, Cyprian, was well-educated. He was well-respected. He was liked by most people in town. And when the hardship began, he wrote this letter, and here's a portion of this letter, to a friend of his called Donatus. This is a cheerful world indeed, as I see it from my fair garden, under the shadow of my vines. But if I could ascend some high mountain and look over the wide lands, it's a bad world, Donatus, an incredibly bad world. But I have discovered in the midst of it a company of quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasures of our sinful life. They are despised, they are persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world. These people, Donatus, are the Christians, and I am one of them. Cyprian responded to the invitation to come to the manger. and he found peace and joy in a world filled with hate and division, and he ended up dying a martyr. So if you come tonight with the expectation that Jesus is going to bring world peace, it's not found here. However, if you are looking for serenity in a chaotic time, Christ offers it to us as individuals freely to help us navigate uncertainty and all the negativity. Now, here's the rub. Christ wants to offer that to everyone. It's just that not everybody wants it. He went as far as to lay hints of what Christ was going to be long before his birth, as if he was laying breadcrumb trail so that people could follow it, so when he arrived, people would know it was him. If you didn't know, there's over 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament alone, the story before the time of Christ. And somebody looked at those prophecies in a book called Science Speaks. Peter Stoner and Robert Newman actually figured out the statistical improbability of one person, whether accidental or deliberately, fulfilling not 300 prophecies, but just 8 of them. And this is what they came up with to help us understand the improbability of Jesus fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies written about him, let alone the 300. They said this: imagine covering the state of Texas, all 267,339 miles, with silver dollars, 2 feet thick over the entire state of Texas. It's about 7.5 billion cubic feet of silver dollars. Take one of them and mark it with an X and throw it somewhere in the pile, somewhere in Texas. Now you take a plane and you put someone in that plane and you blindfold them and you say, whenever you want to jump out of the plane with a parachute, yeah, that's important, you jump out and when you land, pick up one coin. Now, the probability of that person picking up the coin with the X is the same odds as one person fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies about the Son of God found in the Old Testament, the story before Jesus. But that's exactly what Jesus did. Fulfilled the predictions, not the parachute thing. See, God wants everyone to have peace, and he even pointed the way so that we wouldn't miss it. So peace is ours when we cling to Christ. Serenity is ours in the midst of chaos when we let this baby into our lives to undo the damage that this harsh world has inflicted on every one of us in different ways. It's kind of like this. A famous and well-known Christian speaker remembers that after his mother passed away, they went through her belongings to see what would be, you know, kind of divvied up among the family and what needed to be given away. And when his sisters was doing that, they called Charles and said, "Do you want anything?" And he said, "I want the red Christmas tablecloth." Tablecloth's not much to look at. It's old. It's threadbare. It has spots. Color's fading in some places. But there's a story behind this tablecloth. If you were to put a positive spin on it, we would tell you that it was an antique European import. But that's only half truth. In actuality, it used to be a flag that hung hundreds, if not thousands of them, that would hang across Germany and Europe in the 30s and 40s. A symbol of hatred, a symbol of death. And when Charles Marshall, uncle, who served in World War II, came back from the war, it wasn't uncommon for people to bring back souvenirs, and he brought this flag back and gave it to his mother, Charles Marshall's grandmother. Now, she was a practical sort, just being through the Depression, so she cut away the offensive black logo. She removed the white dot in which where that logo stood, and then she turned it into a tablecloth to be used at Christmas time. And she was quoted as saying, "What was originally meant for evil now can be used for something good. Instead of a sign and a symbol of hate and division, it is now the centerpiece of our Christmas dinner that brings people together in peace and love." Now, when I heard that story, I couldn't help but think about Jesus coming to us 2,000 years ago. And as his grandmother cut away the ugly black logo that used to be on there, it is Jesus who comes and takes away that black mark of sin in each of our lives to make room for something better. His love and, yes, his peace as well. A transformation from being broken and separated to a symbol of unity like this tablecloth. And we are reminded tonight that once again in this story, that Christ has come to us to be with us, to do something that no one else can do in this world, and that is bring us peace in the most difficult of moments. Merry Christmas to you all, and amen.
Tears are falling, hearts are breaking, how we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting, welcome Holy Child, welcome Holy Child. Hope that you don't mind our manger, how I wish we would have known. But long awaited, holy stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence, hungry souls be stilled. What now breaking heaven's silence, welcome to our world, welcome to our world.